I'm Carlos Virgen, and this is The Storyline, produced by The Day in New London, Connecticut. Please be aware that in this first segment, we will be using profanity that has been attributed to President Donald Trump. On Thursday, it was reported that during a meeting to discuss a possible bipartisan immigration deal, President Donald Trump used profanity in a derogatory manner when talking about immigration from certain countries. Specifically, it was reported that he asked why the U.S. should accept more immigrants from Haiti and, quote, shithole countries in Africa instead of places like Norway. Many in the media and lawmakers decried his comments as inappropriate or racist. I talked to Paul Choinier, columnist at The Day and editorial page editor, for his initial reaction. He also talked a bit about the editorial that was written as a result of the episode.
Well, the comments weren't shocking in that we know Trump launched his campaign with racially tinged rhetoric about Mexicans coming across the border being murderers and all-purveying drugs, and sort of sounded a dog whistle from the start, it would seem, to people who perhaps are concerned about a changing America, America that's becoming browner, America that's becoming more diverse, and some part of our electorate is probably threatened by that. But this seemed to take it to another level. The fact that he was talking to a meeting that included both Republicans and a Democrat, and he would so blatantly make it clear that there were some people from some nations that he considered acceptable, and some people from some nations that he didn't consider acceptable as being able to come to this country, assimilate, and become part of the American dream, and those people being, in this case, from Haiti and the African continent, being people from poorer black countries. And all the evidence is to the contrary. The evidence says that they assimilate and work harder equally or more than people from anyone else in the world. So it was extremely troubling to hear those comments, and I think people have to speak up loudly and clearly that they're not acceptable and they're beneath the office of president. Well, we call them what we think they are. We think they were racist, and we say that in the editorial. We make a case for it. We also talk about the president's conduct all week on this immigration issue. He seems confused and flip-flopping on exactly where he stands. At one point saying he was for a clean DACA bill to help the young people, the Dreamers, have some permanent status. Then he was jerked in another direction by a Republican leader who said, no, that wasn't our position, that it had to be tied to increased border security. So it's just been a very sort of troubling week, and we also reached the conclusion that he more and more the evidence is that Donald Trump is not fit for the office of president. And we warn Republicans that they have to think closely about whether they want to continue to align with the president, because if they choose to do so, we think they'll have a price to pay. We think the American people in the election that is now 10 months away will send a message by not supporting Republicans that they don't think it's acceptable what they're seeing from the president.
The incident also caused much consternation in news organizations as journalists tried to figure out how to report the incident and whether or not they should use the exact quote attributed to Trump. At The Day, editors decided that because it came from an acting president and because the profanity was used in a derogatory way, the profanity would be published both in print and online. We explained our decision in a comment on theday.com as well as in a Facebook post. As of this recording, that Facebook post has seen well over 100 comments. Many of the comments on theday.com and on our Facebook page criticized Trump for the comment. Some, also questioned whether or not the story is accurate. On Friday, Trump tweeted, quote, "The language used by me at the DACA meeting was tough, but this was not the language used. What was really tough was the outlandish proposal made, a big setback for DACA." And later he also tweeted, "Never said anything derogatory about Haitians other than Haiti is, obviously, a very poor and troubled country. Never said, take them out. Made up by Dems. I have a wonderful relationship with Haitians. Probably should record future meetings. Unfortunately, no trust." End quote. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin, who was present at the meeting, corroborated the quote, while at least two Republican senators also present have said that they, quote, don't recall Trump's comment.
What does leave work now mean to you? What does it imply?
It implies that wherever you're sitting listening to this, it is not as fun as what you could be doing.
Exactly. We're the harbingers of relaxation.
It's your job every day to go and do what other people would consider fun. So this podcast is sort of like going along with you.
You want to go with me the next time I attend a Yanni concert?
Leave Work Now with Rick Costner. Find us on theday.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Reporter Lindsay Boyle gives us a preview of a story she's working on that looks at staffing levels at the New London Police and Fire Departments.
I saw last week, I believe, that the Fire Department was hiring. And, it makes sense. You have to hire every once in a while. But obviously, given all of the recent crime in New London, the stabbings, a couple of murders, the question was, this isn't my question, this is coming from other people, but I saw people wondering, why are they hiring firefighters instead of police? So I thought, okay, that's a fair question. Let's look into it. Well, it turns out it's actually a pretty simple answer. The fire department is budgeted for 64 firefighters, but right now they only have 59. The police department is budgeted for 70 officers, and right now they have 69, the vacancy being the recently vacated deputy chief position, which the deputy chief became the chief, that's why that happened, and that will be filled eventually, but it just hasn't been posted yet because it just happened. So the answer ended up being a simple one. That said, there's still a little bit of drama around it. There's still certainly people who feel that police, more police in the city is a big priority. And one of the things that continually comes up is this ordinance. Back in 2014, the city passed an ordinance that the police department needs 80 officers. So you can do the math. 69 is not 80. They're not there. And especially police union president Todd Lynch is very frustrated by that. So he's called on the city to not be selective in enforcing its ordinances. You know, if you're going to enforce snow removal, then you should enforce this 80 officer ordinance. So the mayor, Michael Passero, he says that it is still the city's intention to get the department to 80. It's going to take some time. I should mention that the fire department got a grant from FEMA. So actually the fire department for the first 2 years, the three firefighters that they bring on, the city only has to pay 25% of their salary. So, I mean, that's a big bonus. I don't think that FEMA has a similar grant for police. I'm sure that they would have gone for it if it existed, but it just doesn't. That is the question, right? Do you take it, if you want to add police officers, do you take it from the schools? If you want to add police officers, do you just raise taxes? Well, we know how that goes. It becomes frustrating because it does appear to be a legitimate need. New London used to have close to 90 officers not so long ago. There's a need for officers, but yeah, where does the money come from? I don't know the answer.
Environmental reporter Martha Shanahan stopped by to give us a rundown on last week's winter storm. How much snow did we get? How strong were the winds, and exactly what is a bomb cyclone? So we survived the storm.
Barely.
That hit our region last Thursday. And we got a decent amount of snow, lots of wind. We got about a foot of snow in about 8 hours. That's a significant amount.
Yeah.
And winds were blowing the snow all over the place. I remember being in the newsroom looking out the window and not knowing if it was still snowing or if the wind was just blowing the snow that was on the ground.
Yeah, there was some horizontal snow happening that makes it a little bit unclear. The phrase bomb cyclone and the reason that it was sort of, you know, that sort of took off and the reason that that was used to describe the storm wasn't, it wasn't necessarily because of the snow. It didn't necessarily cause the high quantity of snow that fell. It was mostly a reason that the winds were so high. So what our friend Gary Lesser, who's the meteorologist that we speak to for most of our weather stories, on
Thursday
morning,
the 4th,
so Thursday morning, they were measuring winds at the Coast Guard Academy, and it was, they were up to 50 miles per hour by then. And around, the, also measuring at the Groton New London Airport, it was 47, and someone was measuring them in Ledyard at 45. So this is all numbers that various entities and individuals who are trained in this stuff report numbers that they measure to the National Weather Service.
And those are like peak gusts, not like sustained.
And I think it got higher than 50 in some places. That was only by 10 a.m. on Thursday. So, and I think that they went up by then. You had hurricane force winds on Cape Cod, but that doesn't make it a hurricane.
Right.
Gary wanted to
to
make that clear, because technically a hurricane is a like sort of warm weather event.
Bomb cyclone.
Yeah, so bomb
what do you have to check off on a list to get to that point?
It's basically just a really strong snowstorm. And there are people, I saw a lot of people saying like, this is ridiculous that we're calling it this. It sounds like what happened was that the Washington Post got a meteorologist to tell them that this was going to be a bomb cyclone, like on Wednesday. Right. And they put out a story, and sort of everybody kind of picked it up and started calling it that. Right. And of course, that's a fun term to use, and including for TV people, it's fun to explain. Technically, it's a storm where the atmospheric pressure drops by 24 of something called millibars, which is basically just a measurement of atmospheric pressure. So 24 millibars in 24 hours. So that's the sort of technical definition. Right. Basically, what that means is that when the pressure drops that much, it just creates a lot of wind and thunder. And it's like a thunderstorm, you know. Right. Thunderstorms are caused by low pressure systems sort of moving over wherever you are.
Right.
And that's what causes thunder and lightning and lots of wind. And this one also involved precipitation and snow. One of the things that Gary told me was that this kind of storm where it meets that requirement of the pressure falling that certain amount in 24 hours happens fairly frequently in the winter, but it's just off the coast, like in the Atlantic Ocean, so nobody sees it.
Right.
They don't get talked about a lot because they're just happening off of the coast and aren't affecting people's lives.
Was it a storm that is an anomaly, or
I think it's an anomaly in that it doesn't usually, you know, these kind of heavy storms don't
make landfall or whatever.
Make landfall exactly that often. But I did read somewhere, I didn't really talk about this with Gary. I did read somewhere that, you know, one of the things that we talk about with climate change is the fact that one of the sort of results of what is happening to the climate is storms
extreme,
of all kinds of higher intensity and higher winds, and because all of this is caused by temperature changes, sort of like air of different temperatures hitting each other. And
I mean, we've written stories and other outlets have written stories about, you know, ice floating further south than usual and cooling water that usually doesn't reach those temperatures, and how that affects the storm systems.
It also means hurricanes are stronger and more sort of devastating, and that also applies to winter storms. So one thing I did read was that, you know, we're sort of going to have to get used to more bomb cyclones.